It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle, coming back to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're doing part two now of our Penn State recruiting series, just looking at the whole context of the position and the trends that Penn State has had, where they've come from, where they're going, some of the hits and misses along the way from a recruiting standpoint. We did the offensive line last week. You can check that out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. We're doing the defensive line now, and really, you know, maybe even more so than than the offensive line, you got to split this into two positions within one. One's the tackle spot, one is the end spot, because they've had some different levels of success at both of those spots. And I think for starters, let's look at where things stand right now on the current roster. Start with the defensive tackles, Greg. The condition that spot is in 2020 on the current roster, and how that maybe influences how big of a need they might have in the 2021 recruiting class, defensive tackles.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I look at, you know, all the things that Penn State will need in this recruiting class, and, you know, defensive tackles, I can kind of go either way on it, honestly. I mean, on one hand, you want at least two or three there every single year, no matter what your scholarship distribution is, but they have plenty of numbers at that position on the roster, but they have to develop it, right? And I think that, you know, if it develops the way that we expect it to, then they should really just have one or two, one or two needs there and that be it. But if they can't develop it, then they're going to have to start loading up on guys. The problem is it's not a particularly great year for defensive tackle recruiting. I mean, I like Tyleek Williams a lot. He's a four-star out of Virginia, a kid who looks like he can be a major player at, you know, he's already 6'3", 317. So he has the size. So does Tywon Malone, a defensive tackle, four-star from New Jersey. I mean, outside of those two, though, you get into some other players who, you know, Elliot Donald's a guy I think Penn State would love to get, whether he's a tackle or end, but I think he's going to stay home and play for Pitt. Kevin Gilman, he's a four-star from Virginia. Is he a defensive end or a defensive tackle? Probably an end. You know, one problem to me, Dustin, that Penn State's had with defensive tackle recruiting is they've taken too many non-sure things. What I mean by that is they've taken way too many defensive ends and maybe tried to convert them into tackles, maybe not, and it's been a bit of a mess.
How about defensive end? And I would, and that's something I want to get into, is Penn State's history of doing that. Oh, we can do it right now, actually. Is taking ends and turning them into tackles, and whether that is a core part of James Franklin's philosophy or something that was born of necessity because they had to shift some guys around and had to move. And I think that James Franklin is a believer in taking a guy who is a defensive end who is a little longer and a little quicker, yeah, and moving them inside and trying to make the most of their skill set in there. And I think they've had some pretty good success doing that. Looking at Anthony Zettel, I put Kevin Givens in that category. Kevin Givens arrived as maybe a linebacker, maybe a defensive end. He ends up being a defensive tackle. They've had success doing that. Who was the last guy to make that particular transition?
I mean, let's think about that for a second. Buckholz, I think, would probably be the
possibly
one. Yeah. Yep. He's, you know, the one that comes immediately to mind anyway.
And then, you know, you saw Yetur Gross-Matos, for example, whenever there were kind of obvious passing situations, would move inside to get as much horsepower on the field as possible.
Right.
So in this day and age, there's more gray area than ever, but when it comes to that defensive end to defensive tackle transition, that's something that's going to be interesting moving forward, because they believe in that, and I think that they have the right candidate. But a lot of that was so need based, right? That mm-hmm. they were kind of forced to do that to try to find bodies and make up for some areas. And defensive tackle is an area where maybe they didn't inherit a ton. They didn't inherit a lot of depth that would take them into the future. So they had to move some pieces around, and this is where it took them. Right. How about defensive ends in 2020? It's an interesting situation because you have a pretty clear, I think, four. I'm not sure beyond the top four yeah. where you are. I'm also not sure, you know, what can you really truly count on when you're talking about Adisa Isaac and even Jason Owe. You're going to have guys. And Shaka Toney being the guy.
Right.
Shane Simmons, you know, is he able to get healthy and have a kind of a career year? I think there's a lot of potential there, but there's also some question marks. And then how does that play into the 2021 recruiting class?
Yep, no doubt about it. I mean, I think that, again, there's a lot of projection going on here at defensive end, right? So we assume Shaka Toney is going to come back and be a star and a standout. Maybe he will be, but he's not going to also have Etor Grosmatos over there on the other side distracting team's best lineman. So that's going to be an adjustment for him. And look, we assume Jason Owe and Adisa Isaac are two guys who are going to really step to the forefront. And I mean, honestly, that's why I would imagine that Daniel Joseph decided to transfer at North Carolina State. I think he ended up at. But so I mean, you can assume that he decided to transfer mostly because of the fact that he was worried about not being able to overcome those guys on the depth chart. But, you know, it's one thing to think that they can do it in practice and games, and it's another thing to think that that's going to translate to the field. And it has to happen before we can see it, because we spend a lot of time making projections about how guys are going to perform, and then sometimes it doesn't work out the way we envision it will. So, yeah, they obviously have plenty of potential at that position, Dustin, but there's a lot of questions to be answered there. I think they need at least two or three defensive ends, too.
Yeah, I think that's a need. It's a need position in this cycle. It's a position that they've recruited well, and we'll circle back to maybe some changes on that front in a second. The sporting world has been sort of the whole world's been shaken by the coronavirus, and a lot of things have come to a halt when it comes to sports. We have one of our partners here, GoPSURV. We've been hyping up the spring game, the blue-white game, which will no longer be happening. If you made reservations for that, contact Mark at 1-800-519-8467 and talk through what your options are. He's made a commitment to work through all that. And for anybody who's entered our free RV raffle through the KSN app, again, that was meant for the blue-white game as well. GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for the first regular season game instead, whichever game that ends up being. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that. If you want to enter, it's still available. There's just a button on the Keystone Sports app. Click the button, sign up, one entry per person, and that's instead of the blue-white game is going to go for the first game of the regular season instead. Once again, if you want to look at to contact Mark, 1-800-519-8467 for that. As mentioned, you know, Penn State, a change in leadership along the defensive line, a change in recruiting philosophy, and it also kind of happens to coincide with not being able to get out and either host recruits or go visit them. John Scott Jr., the new defensive line coach, and it's a new wrinkle for him. We saw him. One of the early orders of business for him was to get out and offer guys that he already had relationships with. So there's that, but. What does the change in leadership there mean for recruiting development? Or are we just waiting to see by now? Yeah. Sean Spencer, it's big shoes to fill. I thought, you know, he was one of the most valuable guys on James Franklin's staff for a while. One of the guys I least expected to move on and take another defensive line job. But when the New York Giants come calling, you take that job. So now Penn State in a bit of a transition here as well.
Yeah, bad timing for him. You know, obviously it was always going to be difficult for him to come in and sort of work in the shadow of Sean Spencer, because everyone was so impressed with everything he was able to do and everything that he did for Penn State. So that was always going to be tough. And now he has to do it with the inability to host kids on campus and bring them in to show them who he is and all of that. So, you know, Dorian Ford's one defensive tackle I didn't mention. We shouldn't forget about him. 3-star out of Baldwin, Pittsburgh. I think he's probably going to end up a 4-star by all the time all is said and done. But anyway, back to John Scott Jr. Not a tremendous track record recruiting-wise during his time at South Carolina. It's not that he was bad. It's just he didn't have any major wins on his resume. So that's going to make things difficult too. I do think that he will, become a strength for this staff from a recruiting perspective. But it's going to take time, and now it's going to take even more time because, again, he can't bring these kids on campus.
And that's the ultimate challenge, that we can't really predict how that's going to unfold, whether that's going to slow things down or not. Looking at Penn State's current roster just a little bit, and we'll talk some wins and losses on the recruiting trail as well. There's A few guys to watch from the 2018 class that we haven't seen much from them yet. Nick Tarbert, Aeneas Hawkins, Judge Culpepper. You can throw Jason Oway in there, although we've got a good flavor of what he can bring to the table. You've also got guys, you know, a little bit younger from the 2019 class as well. Adisa Isaac, Devon Ellis, Akeem Beeman, Smith Vilbert, Joseph Darko, Cole Brevard from the 2020 class. Which of these guys is going to kind of win that race to make an impact first? There's a lot of guys in similar circumstances here that we don't know what to expect from. Devon Ellis, Akeem Beeman, Smith Vilbert, Nick Tarburton. A lot of people are wondering where he's been, what he's up to. So there's a lot of guys. There are numbers here, but there's a lot of numbers where we're not quite sure what to expect.
Well, and again, that's kind of the biggest problem. Like Devon Ellis, for example, is a guy who you look at him and he looks like he's slowly getting to the point of being ready to go to play, Dustin, but how long is it going to take, I think, is, you know, the question that no one has an answer to. Is he going to be ready to go this year? Is he going to have to wait another year until he really makes an impact? I mean, you have a bunch of guys along this defensive line that, as recruits, they may have looked pretty good. As first-year guys or second-year guys, they looked like they had some flashes. But I think it's a group that's long on promise and potential and short on actual results that you can stick to. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out.
And there's not going to be a lot that we see.
I was going to say, yeah, no
well,
kidding.
We can wait.
It's a we'll be waiting for a long time. It's so weird. I know it's going to sound silly, but you have to like even stop and think sometimes about how you're phrasing some of this stuff, because it's like, you know, normally this would be a pretty active time for recruiting, and that's just not the case right now. And again, we get that that's like the, you know, one of the last things that's important at this point in time. And you know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, this terrible loss because we don't have recruiting stuff to talk about necessarily, but at the same time, it's just there's a lot of things to figure out, both for, you know, the teams and the programs and everything else. But I guess the one thing the one thing James Franklin complains about the most is fairness, right? And when a lot of the things when he talks about is, well, you know, we play more conference games than other schools. Whenever he asks about the college football playoff, that's the first thing that always comes up. Well, you know, as our country moves closer and closer to shutting, you know, more and more things down, everyone's going to, in the college football world, is going to be a blanket approach to no spring practice, no in-person recruiting, etc. So, you know, you just have to figure out, again, how to best stand out amid a sea of electronic communication, because that's what all these kids are going to get. I think that, you know, at one point last week, we were at, maybe the SEC would have spring practice, but the Big Ten, the Big 12 wouldn't, whatever. They're all going to be under the same rules and regulations now. So, you know, it's unfortunate John Scott and these other new coaches can't go out and meet recruits, but at the same time, they're going to have to get creative and find ways to, again, make their message stand out.
As long as the NCAA can standardize that calendar for everybody, I like Penn State's chances to make the most of the situation. So we'll see what happens. We're going to move on for now. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions. Those are coming up right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.